Curly Castro, podcast has no name, season 8, episode 3, The Long Night. We start off with Sam perusing the setup. You know, he really shouldn't be out there. He's kind of shaking in his boots, looking left and right like he's about to cross the street. Tyrion grabs some supplies, ale, and a side eye from Bran has gotten as he's on his way to the weirwood tree. John and Danny, they take a position and wait patiently. Melisandre strolls up like she's Tyra Banks. We all believe in you! Like she got VIP access at Coachella with some laminate or something. She did get it lit, so we ain't really mad. The Dothraki ride out to get it popping, which results in their race almost getting completely erased. Oh shit, these niggas came at them like a dead wave tsunami. There's zombies everywhere, but then, oops, dragon fire upside the head. Oops, dragon fire upside the head. All of our faves are waist deep and white. Arya sends Sansa to the crypt. She says, use the pointy end. The Unsullied are showing how they boss, and you can't fuck with them. They're not to be fucked with. You all are up. Sorry. Melisandre comes in, and she gets a lift for the second time, giving us a temporary reprieve. Theon's out back trying to reconnect with Bran, but Bran decides to pop a molly. Woo! I'm sweating. And locate the Night King. Pet Rock at it again. It's official. Winterfell has been overrun, and the Hound is dealing with major PTSD and fear of fire. Arya is kicking ass. We cut to Lyanna Mormont getting Kirkpatrick by a dead giant. She charges him to finish him off. Dies a noble death with one to the eye. Rest in peace, little Ben. The horror and chaos can be heard all the way down in the crypts. We hear men begging for the door to be opened, but if you know Walking Dead, Pastor Gabriel, not letting you in, buddy. Wait. How did Melisandre get in there? No matter what, she reminds Arya that she's a badass. What do we tell death? Not today. And she's off. Danny locates the Night King and lights that ass on fire. Jacaris. To no avail, though. He rocks the finest fire-resistant garments from Dapper Dan. Shout out. Now he's like, fuck it. I'm gonna stroll through the gates with my squad. Back to life. Back to reality. Shout out to Belly. John is trying his hardest to make it through the crowd at the Fire Festival, which proves to be quite a task because, much like the aforementioned festival, everyone is almost dying around him. Viserys' ice dragon ass breaches the wall and is laying waste to the courtyard. Meanwhile, Bran is still tripping as the Night King walks through the club to have a few words with him at the bottom service section. Oh, Sam is crying. John screams at the ice dragon because he thinks that's how being a Targaryen works. Meanwhile, the Night King approaches Bran very slowly and then locks eyes as if they're exchanging glances. Supposed to tell us something, it doesn't. Pet Rock strikes again. No worries, because Arya comes through like Assassin's Creed meets Metal Gear Solid and saves the entire realm with a skillful ass, switching hands like Jordan in the 91 final. Bran doesn't say thank you because Melisandre decides that her job is done. She remembers she doesn't have melanin. The sun rises. She walks out to the snow, removing her necklace of youth and dies. I couldn't breathe. Thank God for Arya.
White Walker perpetuated offenses are considered especially heinous. In Westeros, four dedicated friends investigate and discuss these vicious episodes as members of an elite squad known as A Podcast Has No Name.
I'm Ambush.
I am Castro.
And I'm Morg, and we are A Podcast Has No Name. And we don't have a song tonight. So today we will be going over season 8, episode 3, The Long Night.
There's only 3 episodes left!
Listen, I'm gonna tell you, Castro.
Back to life.
What?
Back to reality.
No.
So,
forgot
that's,
it.
That's the scene. That's the Night Walker scene. That's White Walker scene. Are they walking in? You know,
from Belly, when like at walk, the end, the walk
back
in.
To life.
Gotcha.
Oh, when they get reanimated.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's funny.
That's how they walked into the God's wood. They did.
Right.
Yeah, they did.
They got the eyes and everything. Feeling in the end, yeah.
I'm in love with this one.
I'm going down. However you want it.
This is pretty unrecognizable. I'm hoping.
However you want it. However do you need it. However you want it. However do you need it.
The high notes are killing me. They're the most beautiful thing I've heard. The most beautiful thing I've heard in the last 48 hours. Oh my God. He really committed. He really committed. Oh God.
I have my arm stretched out like Whitney and everything.
And I fully believe that's true.
When they walked into the Cottonwoods, that was not the DMX. Walking in, I'm doing better with a room. What's going
on? Yeah. Cash said, you're going to get these high notes. Y'all going,
you heard that?
Yes, I did. I did.
Went to that register. Oh, Danny, you ain't never seen. All right, Danny. Shit.
So, Pete, though.
I don't know how you feel, but listen, a lot of dick swinging going on in the show with these outfits between Cersei, Sansa, and Danny.
Listen.
A lot of dick swinging.
It's a lot of big dicks out here right now.
I wanted to point on that because Cersei got this red number she wearing next week. My lord.
Listen, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. But remember when Dani hit us last season with the white, with her winter white, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It started with Sansa's getting rape white. So when she started wearing the getting rape white, I seen it happen. That's when I think all that, because remember,
is that the way it has to be referenced, though?
It's the king, because he ripped it and it's the getting rape white. Remember, Brand said,
that's what he said. Because
I'm insensitive. So,
we'll move forward.
Right, but remember, Catelyn would always wear an assortment of rags. Catelyn was never one to dress up.
She was never not,
And Cersei was expensive.
I wouldn't call them rags, but
Catelyn wasn't out here like Sansa, though. Like, Sansa
wasn't dressing like Sansa. Y'all gotta remember.
It's true.
Nobody was doing this yet, except for Cersei.
That's what I'm saying.
But they were both ladies of Winterfell. They were both ladies of Winterfell. Huh? You know what I'm saying?
No, Sansa, Cersei was obsessed with the Lannister colors for a long time. So she would just wear the red and gold stuff until she got all humbled out and they cut her hair. She stopped that shit right after that.
There's
been a big
I just wanted to make clear that Dani was giving us all the fashions last season, and this season, not so much. Completely overshadowed by everything Sansa wears.
Yeah. Sansa killing the game.
I didn't know that was the full point. Dani was getting
Sansa killing the
show.
Game, dog.
Oh, yeah. She's killing the game. Like, when they're in scenes together, it's like, did you even put clothes on? Did you try?
Yeah. It turns Dani from Snow White to Dingy White.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She definitely looks a little more dingy.
Yeah.
All right, you need to put them collars and put those wrists.
Danny's like one. She's one season from looking like a Greyjoy out there. Like, she, hello.
Okay, like, we're gonna get back on track and get to our actual agenda here.
Okay.
Because
Wildly Gray with my Kanye stress all in it.
Yeah, Yeezy season.
Look out here.
So this is what I was going to say.
That's real.
You know, going off the only three episodes left, it really hit me yesterday after the episode. Morgan and I were discussing it, and it was like, wait, we're halfway through. Oh, my God, we're halfway through the season.
Yep.
We're halfway through the season.
Holy God. I had a similar moment last season. How many episodes did we have last season? Only seven, right?
Seven, yeah.
And I just remember the jump, like, oh, it's a little quicker. You know, 10, 5, you know what I mean? But also, Game of Thrones got the penultimate episode and then the epilogue. So when they started throwing these wrenches at us these last two seasons, it's definitely like tangible. Like, we could definitely feel like, oh, we're not used to this ending like this or this early. So it's something you could definitely feel. Like, I know I'm being paranoid about the three episodes left, but like, three episodes left. Especially after this 86 minute episode. This is the longest episode of Game of Thrones ever. I think it might be another longer one than these last three, but this one so far is like, our little show is being put to bed. And that's another thing that I feel like this White Walker conflict, like, people might be mad that this ended in the middle of the season, but I think on hindsight we'll be so much happier. I don't think I would have wanted this to be episode 6.
To be the end.
Then, right.
Yeah.
Then, certainly.
You know, then Melisandre and then the sun comes up. I think that's kind of corny.
It would have been.
I got after this episode, the feeling I got, the first feeling was, let's go get that bitch. Get that bitch. Excuse me, ladies, but it was coursing through my veins after I, because the relief, y'all don't understand the relief.
Oh, okay, hold on. Lord. We're jumping ahead.
Yeah,
so let's just do this.
And... No, get that bitch.
Okay.
Okay.
We gotta get her, y'all.
From the root and stem. Yes.
Okay. From root to stem, indeed.
Yes. With three Dothraki, because everybody there. Sorry.
Okay. They have three Dothraki?
Yeah. Yeah, there was, well, oh, the three, those three that ran back very well could be dead by now.
We definitely, I wanted to bring it up. I was going to put a little earmark on it, put a little stem. We definitely have to talk about houses that were extinguished during this conversation.
Indeed.
Because that actually happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so now our watch has ended. Overall thoughts and reactions for the episode. I'm going to go with Ambush first because we just got a tiny bit from you, Castro. Ambush?
Okay. Mixed emotions. This was the first episode that I walked away from it with immediate feeling of dissatisfaction. And it struck me hard because I don't ever remember feeling like that about any episode. And for so many big things to have happened, and as long as we waited for this specific battle, for me to come away from this episode dissatisfied, man. But the more I reflect on it, there were many great points in the episode. The episode overall, excellent. Great stuff happened. But I was taken down a notch. Yeah.
Okay. Castro.
Okay. I totally disagree in terms of being disappointed. We're going to get into it, but I can see there definitely was some plot holes and some things not done very well in this episode. One of the main things was the lighting. And I actually read a full-on story about the quality, like the shot in, like, well, just the way it's translated through OLED or LCD TVs and everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I'm getting away from the main point. My reaction was the sweet relief of a Pyrrhic victory snatched from the hot mouth of defeat. Because shout out to Avengers. This was decimation.
Oh yeah.
And it did, and Deus Ex Machina's be damned. It didn't really seem like anybody was gonna be able to do anything. It got real bleak, and so just to get that relief, like I was just like, oh, I ain't gonna lie to y'all, I don't care. I was in the moment. So I didn't care if it worked out. I didn't care if like, oh, I wanted it to be this person or that or this thing or that. I was just happy that somebody did something. And I was just relieved. Like my dogs were going crazy. I was screaming at the TV. So just a big sense of relief. I was just clutching myself. Really, it was really emotional for me.
Wow.
We're looking real bleak. So yeah.
So my initial immediate reaction was somewhat of Am's, of just kind of feeling disappointed. And my level of disappointment was not that the battle happened, that it happened in the third episode, that they weren't the official last thing that they fight. It was the battle was too long for me, which became boring. And I do understand all of the things they did to make it so that it wouldn't be monotonous, but right. It didn't work for me. And it definitely worked for lots of people.
Right.
I think I'm likely in the minority for not caring as much about this big, huge, epic 80-minute long battle. But for me, battle scenes are only good for as long as they're good. And how many different ways can I see everybody getting pigpiled and then somehow miraculously you make it out? Like, how many times can I see that without it being completely redundant? And a lot of that battle felt redundant for me. Like, oh no, Brienne, there's 80 million around you again. Oh, you fought them all off. Okay. Oh no, it's like,
well, let me ask you, is this a byproduct of watching their battles throughout this series, or a byproduct of the battles through this series added with the Lord of the Ring battles, like big melee battles that we've seen? Did this episode come at a time where it's like, okay, I've seen this such a many times. So making a longer episode version of this is not so impressive to me because
it's possibly that. It's possibly that. It's also for me. I don't know all the way how to articulate this yet, so I'm sorry if I become redundant. But I need something to stay engaged. Like, those scenes move so fast. There's so much happening directly in front of you. A lot of like this had, you know, tens of whites in one little frame, so it looks like hundreds, right? And you're like, okay, where are you gonna go? Like, I don't. The sword swinging, just hacking away at shit, just, you know, like.
So was the realism or the consistency? Because this is the thing I want to ask. Well, there's realism and there's consistency. So it seems like one set of rules for the, you know, the white army inside of the castle. Once they get inside, the rules kind of start.
My problem from the beginning was this entire, number one, your plan was never going to work. Number two, right. Danny abandoned the plan. Right. And number three.
So we agree. Yes. I mean, but the dog and three, slaughtered.
Danny said, what plan?
Did I hear you? Too late, fam. Too late. Yeah. You're too late. Anyway, three, when the wave of White Walkers from the very beginning, whites, the wave of them come, that's insurmountable. So for me, I want to be able to just fully immerse myself in these worlds where it's like no rules, no, none of my human shit. But then I'm looking at I look at the magical people, I look at the regular people. And if regular people are making it out of this alive, it don't make no fucking sense, right? And then regular people with one hand making it out alive don't make no fucking sense. You know what I mean? Like, some of this just doesn't work, especially when I keep seeing the same scene of you being completely surrounded and you're just hacking, just throwing a sword at things.
Sam should have made it out. There's an example. Sam should have made it out. There's no way. He was on his back.
No, but here's my Sam explanation. He was on his back, but he was laying on dead people, just stabbing every next to him. Now, mind you, things come at you. Now, here's the thing where this is where it works, and I can play a little advocate. These things aren't so obsessed with just biting and gnawing at you. They also like use weaponry and stuff. But they're also like just manic, so they're swinging. I can see where they run into your parries. You're just swinging your sword, they're running into it. And also, let's also not forget, there's one big thing that we're placing on these creatures. We can't be absent-minded of. They're actually specifically controlled. Like, the Night King is sending them specifically to do certain things. And we'll get into that.
For sure.
A little bit, you know what I'm saying? So it's not just mindless zombies running up like they're waiting. They're getting instructed. So he might be telling them, I want y'all to raid this way. Because remember, they stop. They come to a dead stop when he wants them to. And that happened three times in this battle. Where they just came to a stop.
Feels like, Castro, it feels like to me that those rules are interchangeable just to serve whatever plot it's serving at the moment, though. So it's hard to just be like, oh, yeah, definitely, that's what it is. Like, they make a point to show us him controlling them when he's controlling them, right? They make a very big point to show us that he does that. So either they show us that all the time, or I guess we're supposed to imagine that he controls every single move that they make. But I think that's unrealistic. I think, sure,
I think,
you know what I mean? They go out there and they run and they just do the weird shit.
Well, I think it's a hard middle ground because, all right, so you either have, and I have this type of battle, sometimes I have issues with the two towers in Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. I had an issue with it. They were coming down this steep hill and it just seemed like all you had to do was kind of run over the orcs with your horses or whatever they have you. And they were defeated. And then there's the other understanding of this thing, the Matrix 2 with the Burly Brawl, where he's so skilled, he's kind of able to fight all of them at once. But there's just too many where literally you're going to be, you know, covered in.
You're going to be overpowered.
Right. So
that's my point.
There's another scene, and I just want to bring up all these scenes. And there's another scene in Hellboy 2. Golden Army, where the two fairies are flying at them, and these are things that really go at your teeth and eat you. And they're swarming some people, but other people are able to shoot them with a gun. And these are literally like little fly fairy things flying around your face. So, yes, I think stories take their own liberties with how they want to apply these rules. They're a little loose. I think the rules got out of hand more when they breached and got inside the castle. That's when I feel like the rules are being a lot of muted to continue the story, for, you know, and also a lot of plot armor used. So I don't want to harp on it, but let's just say they just used all the plot armor they had. I think maybe the next battle will be a little more realistic because there'll be a little less magic. If you get what I'm saying, it'll be more, you know, mano a mano. Or I think this will be a little more naval because I think we see ships and stuff like that. So
yeah.
You know, we'll see. I don't want to be long-winded with the first point, but I think I'm with you on that, Mark. They definitely started loosening up the rules, but I think it was definitely like a story. When I watched the behind the scenes with them, they wanted to give this hopeless narrative. Like, they were definitely kept pushing towards the hopelessness of it. Give you a little hope, take it away.
Right.
We got two dragons. Oh, but we got a whirlwind with us. You know what I'm saying? Like, just
well, yeah. I mean, that. Yeah. Yeah. The hopelessness, that, okay. My thing is, the things that shouldn't have been long and drawn out were, and the things that should have had time and space there didn't even get talked about. So that was my problem with the episode. You know, in hindsight, I've been thinking about it all day, talking about it all day. There are so many dope things that happened and so many pieces that were great throughout the episode. So in no way will I say that this is a bad episode. It just, for me, I wasn't super hype about all of the hype surrounding how epic this battle would be anyway. Like 80 minutes of straight battle. I wouldn't want to watch 80 minutes of Hard Home. I wouldn't want to watch 80 minutes of Battle of the Bastards.
It's just
like,
not your jam.
Not my jam. Well, right.
So, and they also said they tried to break it into three parts. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also how you're satisfied by these parts. So the first part was the tension building, which some people I know were hot and cold on. The quietness, Sam running around, he's very much.
I'm here for that. Attention.
And the second part was the horror part. Arya getting chased all up and down.
Right.
And then the third part was the action. So maybe if they reorganized some of those parts, because they were trying, like Amazon, they were trying to make it not monotonous.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they're trying to make it, you know.
And I think that worked for a lot of people, and it definitely did not work for me.
So, Castro, one of the reasons that didn't work, because we also had the discussion too, how they broke up the scenes, you know, between the individual fights, Arya being on the inside, going down to the crypts and coming back outside. The reason I think, one of the reasons I think it didn't work is because every time we came back outside, you were coming back to the exact same action. There wasn't, I think if they'd spent less time showing us everyone just hacking away every single time they cut back to the courtyard, and gave us like very significant parts of the battle. So we go into the crypts, we come back outside, Melisandre's lighting the trench. We go into the crypts, we come back outside, and the Night King gets knocked off his dragon. We go to Arya, we come back outside, and, you know, Little Bear gets killed. Instead, what we were getting those significant things happening in the battle, but it was still buffered by the exact same actions every single time of someone being completely surrounded and hopeless, and then up, and they've made it out again. Because honestly, just with that going on, it made the amount of survivors for me completely unrealistic. We didn't lose enough main characters.
Okay.
Like, because that's...
Nah, not for what that battle was. For as much as they showed us that this dude didn't come to play and he got all the shit and look, you forgot he be reanimating. Like, all of that.
I mean, there was a lot of plot armor, but I will have to say.
Yeah.
There's a big loss. Like, I think there's some irony going on with the previews. Oh, we're going to fight this last war and all that shit. They got like six people left.
Right.
All right. And I remember how depleted John and them were after, let's just say, the battle at the wall with the wildlings and shit until Stannis came. Like, you know, like, there's not a lot of them left. Like I said, we are going to talk about the houses extinguished, and that was a real thing. So, you know.
Okay.
Let's continue.
Mm-hmm. Olenna's revenge. Casper, what do you think will come back and bite someone this episode?
Exactly what I just mentioned. The near extermination of Danny's forces does not bode well for the war to soon come. Mm-hmm. Like, we got Cersei with, you know, her tactics, whatever you want to call them. She got fresh men sitting there chilling. No PTSD from fighting the dead, no seeing their friends being animated. No, think about this, though. Think about
this. No, you're right. Funny, you're right.
No blurring of what was at the focus. Cersei ain't even care about that shit. So these people are not even thinking twice. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if there's moral to maybe we should have let a section of the whites go attack the castle type shit before we killed all of them. But there was really no way to do that type thing. I mean, it's been interesting to see. They show some previews that show, like, dragons are fine, ghosts is fine, all that shit. They were rebuilding in the courtyard, so maybe it's better off. You remember the retreat? And I don't know if you noticed it. Retreat was highly successful.
The retreat was definitely was highly successful.
They had it set up where you could run behind them and you saw them suddenly backing up one line by, you know, time. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people got indoors. Now, they did get breached, and there weren't that many people in the crypt. I think let's just give them the middle ground. There's a lot more people left over than we think. I guess that's the only thing I can say. But that's what I think will come back and bite.
Okay. Well, so I'm going to... my thing is Dany's pride and her ego continue to bite her in the ass. Mm-hmm. She completely abandoned the fucking plan in the moment of seeing the Dothraki get disseminated. Here's the thing. You can't change what just happened. You watched all those lights go out. You can't make it. Your dragon doesn't rewind time. So jumping up and jumping bad in that moment was the worst fucking move for her. And everyone, right. Not just her. Mm-hmm. But it's like that continued. I need you to be a better leader. I need you to make smarter decisions. And it's not that these are just like emotional decisions and she's a girl, so she makes them. No, this is just, she is so focused on this one particular thing, and these are the people that are helping her do it, that loyalty to them that she feels from them and she has for them is just outweighing what it should.
Right.
And she had no business breaking the plan in something that was this big. The stakes were too astronomical for her to be like, oh, fuck that. Y'all kill my cousin? Like, you had no business.
Right.
Reel it in. No drive-bys.
Piggybacking off of that, her devotion to the Dothraki and straying from the plan put the other people that are devoted to her at risk, the Unsullied. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are your people, too.
Yeah.
These are, hands down, your people. So now you've watched the Dothraki be extinguished. There's nothing you can do about it. Instead of staying where you're supposed to be to light that trench for the Unsullied, and you know, that part of the phase, that part of the, you know, plan, you just go off script. Boom. As far as what do I think will come back to bite someone this episode, I'm still on Tyrion. I really feel like he's not in the proper headspace. Like, like, one, his reluctance to go down, sure, in the crypt, sure. Once he was down there, just the way he was talking in front of everyone about what they should do, and maybe we should, dude, fall back. You are in a leadership position, and you're showing all of your weakness right now in front of someone like Varys. Like, he's bugging. Tyrion is...
That's interesting. I didn't take that as weakness. I didn't take him being like... I took that as him feeling useless and wanting to be in a position to help, not I'm weak because I'm down here. You know what I mean?
Okay. So the reason...
Like, I definitely... Oh, go ahead.
So the reason I viewed it as weakness is because I think part of the reason why he was so mouthy is because he was drinking. Like, you're tripping. You're tripping. You're having conversations in front of people that you shouldn't even be having, like, period. So to me, that was That was a chink in the armor. That was a moment of weakness. But then on top of that,
I don't know. What's the conversation?
Him speaking and him saying that they should be up there and basically he's speaking in opposition to orders he was given by the person he's supposed to be following. So it's like you're down. You know what I'm saying? You've been given strict instructions and now you're down amongst everyone else that's at your level or below your level and you're talking shit. Dog, nah,
I guess I just didn't take it as talking shit. Mm. I took it as him feeling useless and not wanting to just sit around drunk when there's all this shit happening.
And then when all the shit happens,
he can be helpful.
And then when all the shit happens, what does he do? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, now they're busting out the crypt. What are you doing now? You wanted to do
right,
all
I'm
this
just talking
shit.
About the psychology of it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why someone would be like, man, maybe I should be up there. That's
right,
all I'm saying.
Right.
I'm not saying his actions matched it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like that made tons of sense to me. That doesn't seem like a weakness at all.
Mm. Yeah, that mindset for me, I feel like is something he needs to quickly abandon, or it's going to bite him. It's gonna come. It's gonna continue to be an issue. Moving forward, like, yeah. I mean, the fact that Danny was having the trust issue she's having with him, and then for him to be down in the crypts, you know, bitching and moaning about the decision that she made, I just don't think it was a good look. Yeah.
Mm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
No, that's it for me.
Pie sells bitch ass. What do you think will come back? Oh, I'm sorry. Some gripes, grievances, issues one had with the episode. Castro, if you'd be so kind.
I have in my notes the return of Brother Darkness. Episode's way too dark. they wanted to. It just was like you were missing certain. So, like, it was one thing. It was dark. So I was dealing with that, right? Then you bring that damn whirlwind in, which strategically is great for the Night King and all that. But now I can't see shit. Then you go in the castle, and then we're kind of lit up by the fires and the trenches and stuff. But that's all that's backlight. But you got, like I was saying, so you got a swarm of zombies in front of you, the whites, backlight, red, and I just see swinging and hacking. So very hard to kind of make out. I thought they would have done a little better job. And like, you know what? To me, I wasn't as concerned with y'all about. I thought the dragon fight was very cloudy and weirdly crazy, and like they were flying in San Francisco in the morning. Like, why? You know,
yes.
Like,
yes, agreed.
You know, and then I also have fucking Bran. What did he do? Tell me. I can't hear anybody else. Tell me what the fuck he did. Tell me what he did. Tell me what he did this episode. What did you do, homie? You went into the Ravens for what?
I have to go now.
What
did he do? Where'd he go?
I'm gonna go now. That's what he said. I'm gonna go now.
He did nothing. He found the Night King, and then immediately Danny and John were fighting him. And the Night King had that whole thing under control because he's making them bump into each other and shit.
Right.
So like, what did he do? Like, if Arya didn't come through at the end. I swore Bran was going to do something. I'm going to give y'all something. I thought Bran would at least ward into Viserion and just let off one blue fire burst into the gods with to burn up the lieutenants. I thought that because I thought showing the Night King impervious to dragon fire, maybe you use that fire that he's converted Viserion into the night dragon fire, if you will.
Sure.
And I thought, I didn't even think that would take out the Night King. I thought he would just make a burst, like John would look at it and duck. Because John was running towards the guys, and I thought that burst of fire would come through and at least kill the lieutenants. Because, like we say, the Night King can stop the battle when he wants, as he's making his entrance, which he did. So I thought that was a straight shot, and nothing happened. And I thought he would just stay warped out for the entirety of the thing, or I thought he would upload his consciousness into the tree because that's one of the main werewolf trees that's still even around, and he did nothing. All jokes aside, what did he do? Somebody help me.
Right.
No, this is also my gripe. I can't help.
Yeah.
I,
Was he giving coordinates? Like, all right, Night King's over
here.
Yeah,
but to who? Like, who caught him? Who'd he give him to?
Right.
Because the Night King was definitely on offense. Right. There was no...
Moving, changeable.
Man. Right. Like,
you want to talk about our plan with shit. The Night King had a great plan.
Indeed. And he executed it.
All right, it was almost down to the wire. Didn't mean to interrupt. But, oh my god!
You didn't interrupt. That one was yours. That's also my one of my big huge gripes of this episode. Ambush.
So to talk about the lighting, I think, and they did miss the mark because a lot of people complain about it. I think they were very purposeful with the lighting and trying. Okay, so think about some of these video games, like Resident Evil and some of the games where there's purposely.
The scary. Yeah,
they give you the option. The right. Yes. They give you the option to change the contrast and make it brighter. But for the most part, the games are made really, really dark. So you can't see what's coming at you. And I think with them attempting to add horror into this episode, they wanted to create these dark spaces where things were jumping out. The problem is the pace didn't match that. Everything was moving too fast, and you're trying to focus on what's happening, but you can't focus because these are dark scenes. So it was like, if you're gonna make it dark, then the slow scenes, like with Arya in the library, that works. That's traditional horror. Everything's a slower pace, so you're peeking around a corner and all of that, and you have time to focus. But everything moving so fast and things being dark, that combination just didn't work for a lot of people. Things that irked me about this episode, I'm going to save my best one for last. Ghost. I was irked by what seemed like John realizing he's Targaryen and completely abandoning Ghost for Rhaegar. Completely. Before all of this...
Let me interject.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a matter of the Rhaegar thing being new and needing more poignant focus with the aerial attacks. And Ghost knows what to do. Ghost been knew what to do, and Ghost has been kind of on his own way longer than any dragon or any other direwolves. Remember, John left Ghost on the other side of the wall for a minute.
True.
Ghost came back by himself.
True.
Ghost knows more. Like, Ghost knew where Shaggy Dog and all of them were because he was rolling with them. Then came back. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. It's just... I think Ghost is okay on the solo tip. I know we want to see John and Ghost in duo, but have we ever? We saw Rob and his direwolf working in tandem.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost has always been to me like, I guess you would say, on autopilot. After a certain season, it seemed like Ghost
like Nightmare. Yeah,
right. Could just roll by himself. He knows what to do. He's in the battle. He's not necessarily keen on I'm gonna. Flying from anywhere to protect John because he's not always with John, you know, or in his vicinity. I get what you're saying, though, Em, in terms of the trading off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there has to be some special effects payoff with Ghost. Otherwise, they would have killed him either in this battle. They would have said he was lost beyond the wall. Like, there was plenty of moments to drop him off. So to keep him around, maybe he'll be the one that bite on Cersei's neck.
Maybe. You know? That would be a great payoff. That would be a great payoff.
That'd be cool.
My other issue... my major issue with this episode was the Night King. I'm okay with him dying. Yeah, I'll explain. I'm okay with him dying.
Okay.
I'm okay with how he died because we were all rooting for Arya to do it. My issue with this episode, it seemed like they treated this episode like we're going to give you all of the Night King you can stand, all the Night King you can muster. We're going to show you from the left. We're going to show him from the right. We're going to show him in this light. We're going to show you his sword. We're going to show you his outfit. We're going to all of it. It was overexposure to no point. There was a scene near the end when him and they cut back and forth between him and Bran, like four times with nothing happening. Nothing happening.
But that's more Bran than the Night King.
No.
I got more personality and smirks than this motherfucking pet rock.
I get that. But what I'm saying is, from a direction standpoint, what are we doing? They did the same thing with John when he was flying over the generals. They cut back and forth like, okay, we see that he sees them, they see him. He sees them again, they see him. And then a storm. What are we doing?
He was about to make a run at them.
No, I got that. Yeah, I got that.
To make the run is what Am is saying.
Right. Right.
But he got caught off by the Night King.
No, but you gave us too much time. Castro, what they did was they gave too many long looks, which then gives the viewer, you have time, bro. You've been staring at him. Blow the fire.
Okay.
Dracarys.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right.
And instead, we're looking long. Oh, look, now there's a fucking mountain on its way to avalanche on top of you.
Right. And then going back to, like, it's funny that everyone compared their walk into the Godswood to the entrance in Belly, because it was that slow. It was that drawn out. It ended up being absolutely pointless. It ended up being absolutely pointless. So it was like,
the stare down wasn't pointless. I'm saying the pace of all of that was pointless. Guys.
The reason it was going down at that pace is because the Night King's plan was actually really working to fruition. Even him falling off his dragon. So, this is one thing I found out with one review that put a little better spin on the battle for me. The Night King was learning. This is your thing, Am. Mm-hmm. The lieutenant sat back, as we see with many war movies. All the grunts went in, it got murked or whatever. Lieutenant sat back. They know that they had time to prepare. They know they probably had more Valyrian steel than they did the last time they met them. They might not have known about the Dragon Glass, but, you know, the Night King is a triple agent because he's been looking through Bran the whole time.
All right, one sec.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
One sec, Castro. What you described is literally what they do every single time. With that strategy you just described, yes, that's what they do every single time. The generals stay back. The whites go forward and make mayhem, and the Night King, when he feels like it, will make a major move. This is the same thing every single time.
So to
get this over and over again, and then, you know, my big issue was I need the motivation story. There was time for that. If you're going to give me this back and forth stare down between the two of them.
No, but you're getting that with this look, you're going to have plenty of that with the prequel. The prequel is supposed to be the last.
Okay,
one.
Okay, let me address that real quick. So I was talking, I was online talking about this last night, and K-Mass was saying, you know, his motivation is revealed in the books more, and there's some wiki pages that break down his motivation. Here's the thing. The writers and directors of this show have given us content. I don't want to have to search anywhere else to understand the motivation of the characters that you have taken liberty with. Give me a sec. They've made it a point that when every little tiny thing that we didn't notice the first time, when we watch these episodes a second time, they're revealed to have a greater meaning. In this, there is just too much time wasted with the Night King and White Walkers that I feel didn't get paid off properly. And unless in this next episode we're going to get some explanation as to where Bran went, or somehow, some way, some scene that won't make sense, we're going to get a backstory. Like, I just don't see it moving. I don't see the reward for us waiting for the Night King.
I don't think all they need to seasons. Give us no explanation because this is the great, like, I think this is where the fan service come in and the longtime supporters like us.
Mm-hmm.
This is literally the first force we encountered that was abnormal in this show.
Right.
Was the White Walkers. First episode, episode one, season one.
Mm-hmm.
And for it to come to fruition at the end, where it's still another fourth member, for the longest we thought it was just a force. Right? And then me personally, felt some relief when Bran explained it the way he did. I was like, okay, you know, I don't need, because again, the thing about the Night King having purpose is, one, we were confusing him. We were confusing the Night King with the Night's King.
Right.
It used to be the Lord Commander. And it went, you know, so it was all that history.
What's the explanation that Bran gave that you were okay with?
when he said that the Night King wants to erase our memory and have an eternal long night, because that's what the children of the forest created him for in the first place before they sunned him and betrayed him.
Okay.
He created you, but you're doing too much.
Okay.
So why did we have to wait eight seasons
for that? Why didn't he do that in the first season?
I think because this is where your point comes in here. The Night King was not no dumbass Jack Frost.
No.
Winter.
He's been around for thousands of years. This is
and
dumb.
And been planning this.
Right. This is no dumb. You see what I'm saying? This is dumb.
You need it. No. Like, you need the dragons to come back. No, listen. What is necessary in this land for magic to thrive?
The dragons.
The dragons. Right.
Yes. Yes.
The dragons. Mm-hmm. Literally why? Had to wait for the creation cycle, like humans, if we get exterminated and how we get come back on this planet. Literally had to wait for the extinction cycle for dragons to come back around.
I'll give you all of that, Pastor. I'll give you all of that. All of it. If it's just a matter of we are here, we are death, and we want to eradicate all mankind, right? Erase the history of men.
When you put the history of men into it,
mm-hmm.
and going back to why they were created in the first place, I'm all good. I'm all green lights go. So like,
No, no, wait, Castro.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So if that's true, why does the Night King have to kill Bran? Shouldn't Bran just be able to be killed?
Bran was the first stupid ass three-eyed raven. Literally, think about it. By himself to get marked.
Sure.
All
what
these
does
things
that?
Have to, so, I'm gonna get through it.
Oh, so you're saying because he was marked, he was able to be trapped.
Yeah, all these things have to happen. The wall coming down, getting a dragon, using a dragon to bring down the
but
wall.
But wait, Castro.
When Bran
became the three-eyed raven, and Blood Raven was killed. The Night King was there, and Bran was 30 feet away from him.
Night King killed Blood Raven.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So this is what I'm saying, Casho. Things like that seem very purposeful. When the Night King stands there and allows them to get away, all of that seems very purposeful. So you can't at the end, just, he just, oh, it's just death and that's over with. He could have been killed, Bran. He could have flew over the guy. He could have flew over the Weirwood tree with his dragon and took Bran out immediately. So you have to explain to me why you needed the assembly of generals and you had to walk in like Belly. You can't make all this pomp and circumstance and say he just needed to kill Bran. Nah, that doesn't make sense.
He needed to wait until Bran was worthy of killing.
Okay, no.
The other three-eyed raven was way more powerful and knew how to keep his distance. No.
What do
he
you
knew
mean?
How to keep his distance because where would tree with a three-eyed raven, the first one, Blood Raven, mm-hmm. living, was on the other side of the wall. So if we want to go there, he only had with the children in the forest kind of protecting him. The Night King could have been assaulting him multiple times and eventually broke them through. Remember, there was magic around
but
there. Let me finish.
Uh-huh.
The mark on Bran is the final domino. I don't care if it took 2,000 years to hit.
Right.
Bran having the mark broke the magic spell around that last Weirwood tree where the original three-eyed raven was before he gets the download to Bran. Mm-hmm. Then Bran becoming a three-eyed raven who's less experienced, he allows himself to get marked. The mark leads the Night King over through the wall once he gets a dragon because Danny and them are irresponsible.
But Castro. Once Bran
showed up to Hardhome with chains, like he knew that shit was gonna happen.
Right. Once Bran got marked, Castro, explain to me. They're north of the wall. Bran is marked, which means the Night King now knows wherever he is. How the fuck did he make it back to the wall, Castro? He was allowed.
Bran?
Yes, the Night King had to allow that to happen. So you have to explain
because at that point the wall was still up. And the magic
but he didn't need
the.
If the point is to kill Bran, you don't need
King,
the. You don't need to worry
no,
about the wall.
You guys,
please stop talking over each other.
Okay,
Castro, you have to listen all the way through first, and we all have to do this. But in this particular instance, what Am just said is, before Bran got back on the other side of the wall, he should have been just killed then by the Night King. Because there's no, why would, what was stopping him?
He was already marked.
No. I got that part. The TV show.
The what?
It's a TV show. It's a TV show. The most obvious, less dramatic way is not going to be done. We said that. We said that a couple of episodes back when there's certain things that we're like, eh, it's kind of TV. And it is a little bit. So my thing is, this is where I was at, y'all.
Yeah, this is not supposed to be TV. It's supposed to be HBO.
I get that, but also, that's a good point. Good point. But I allow myself to get swept in the moment. And allowing the Night King to have a simpler motivation allows me to get swept in the moment. Mm. These conversations we have allow me to break it all down. You know, but again, the big divergence, y'all, is George R.R. Martin writes a certain way. And TV writers can't. So right. They got a hold of the material, are absent of him. All of these things that probably, look, George even said it. He said he writes himself into a soft corner. So he writes himself out of it. So like stuff that we want to happen, like the culmination, he hasn't even thought of because he hasn't sat down to write it.
I totally understand that. We're just, this is my thing with this conversation. Mm. I'm not looking at certain things for the book to answer something that the book isn't going to answer.
Right.
The show has taken it a certain direction that we, that book readers have said, that's not the direction this was going to go, right? Like, I think you have said that. I think we all know that that's true probably, in some instances, right?
Like, yeah. Even Arya killing the Night King might right. probably so, not happen in the book.
Sure, maybe not. Like, but the point is that we can't stick to, like, we've now moved out of the books yes, all the way, yes. right? So we can't, I can't go to the book, and I think this was what Anne was trying to say. I can't go to the book, and I can't go to the wiki for something that isn't there. The show is doing this, right. not the book. So I need the show to explain to me, in a show fashion, what they're doing with certain things. Right. And they had the time. So it is just really hard for me to wrap my mind around, like, this guy is this big, huge, mythical creature that everybody has to be scared of. He's the biggest problem. They have all the troops in the world, right? Like, this is the big existential crisis. And then, not really, he's just death. He's a villain just to be a villain, and he just kills people just to kill people. But also, everything had to line up perfect for him to do it. And then you don't really need to kill Bran, but yes, you do, because he marked him. Like, you have to answer some of that then.
Yeah.
You don't just get to say, right. oh, the Night King is dead.
I have one quick question. Mm-hmm. If the Children of the Forest did not create the Night King, would we allow the mystery and the evil force?
I will not allow the mystery when you have given me too many peeks inside
that's
of something
that's
so that's literally the same thing. Yeah,
creation.
No. I'll answer your question directly.
Okay.
I answered it directly because Morgan definitely answered it. So you're saying without us being given that, will we have a problem? No, we wouldn't.
Yeah.
But that's the point. You've given us too much. You've given us too much smarts about this guy.
But then why
you've
don't you want to know more about the Children of the Forest then? I'm play advocate to the end, but we're allowed.
I do.
They're dead. We don't care now. They're not giving us any more answers.
If it matters to the rest of the story.
Right.
And I think that it does. And I think that there's too many things for you to tie up that in real life could have been tied up in that episode.
Right.
That for it not to have been. And for me to jump ahead, I'm not going to say they're not going to do it. Hopefully they explain it in the next episode. I said to Anne, maybe Bran gives us 5 words that explains everything, right? Like as the pet rock does.
Get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Like, that's annoying.
It is. And the only thing that would make it okay is that they actually even addressed it. If they don't address it, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't give that much and that many peeks inside and make it like this is definitely something that you need to be paying attention to for it to just be a diversion.
Right.
If, you know what I mean? Like, all of
it's
that
the Mandarin
just
all over
fucking
again.
Fake just to be like, psych, I'm a villain just to be a villain and I like to kill. That's whack. I don't ever like a villain that just wants death and destruction. Like, give me a reason.
Right.
And Game of Thrones gave me 7 seasons of reason and then killed him and was like, talk to y'all later. Everybody champion Arya real quick.
Yeah, it stole from Arya's moment for me. It did. I can't even celebrate.
Really?
I it's harder for me to celebrate her pulling that off because of not having the proper closure on that character, honestly. Like, because now he's anything. He literally is anybody. Like, yeah. Like, you killed him off without giving me who he... Yeah, he's anybody. Like, yeah, it's whatever. No biggie. The whole thing's over. Cool. Cersei, let's go deal with that now. Yeah, like, for real. All
right. But, no, I mean, we're way down the rabbit hole, so I think we have to agree to disagree.
We really went hard on the bitch, Pycelle.
Pycelle does that. Pycelle brings that out of you.
Now, that's somebody I would love to be resurrected and stabbed the fuck up again.
And re-killed.
I would have no problem. All right, so here's a quick question, y'all. Mm. Should the Night King have scrapped the brand thing and doubled back and went after Cersei and all that? Or did he really show that Iron Throne ain't shit? He don't give a fuck.
He don't give a fuck about the Iron Throne, he never did.
No, he don't. Really don't.
I don't think that was ever his point.
No, but at one point in the show, I thought that might come into play.
Yeah, I definitely thought there was
more magic into the throne. You know, magic, not just... Anyway, I'm good.
Yeah, I didn't know. Okay, Robert Baratheon's hot pie. Who was just doing the most this episode? Who had the most to do and tried... to do it all.
Me, Patrick, down there
in the front with your hand up.
Me. Tyrion and Sansa were doing all of the nothing. So, when they got together, they had the dragon, the obsidian blades, that's all I'm using for this description, in their hands. He kisses her hand in a passionate, hey, we used to be something, right? And then they go out from high and do what exactly? Did I fall asleep? I didn't do anything. They didn't charge at anybody. They didn't kill any of the whites coming out of the crypt. They didn't hurry anybody to a secret place they knew. They just kind of walked out there and saw Varys hiding. Please, anybody on the call, help me out. Was there something that I missed?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe this is the moment where it's like, oh, it's implied, and they didn't have to show us that for us to know that Tyrion went and killed a bunch of whites real quick.
Shots fired.
You should see my face right now.
Yeah, I can feel it. Catherine, I can't answer your question because I too wonder what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah.
I do have to say, though,
Did you think they were going to kill themselves?
No.
I definitely never thought that.
Mm-mm. Oh,
I never thought that.
I was going back to Cersei.
And the hand kiss. Oh, God. The hand kiss wasn't passionate to me. The hand kiss was compassionate. Like, that was, we're in this thing together. Yeah, mm-hmm. We're in this together. I'm mm-hmm. here. All right. Let's get out and go kill a white. You know what I mean? Like, that's what that was to me. I don't think that was passionate. I don't think that was rekindling.
That I talked to about it were, not the passion, more, but the kiss. All of us thought they were going to kill themselves.
Like, oh, wow. No. I thought that was him pretend. I thought that was him kissing her, as in he's going to try to.
At the same time.
No, I thought that was him kissing her hand, as in okay, I'm going to step out here and I may not see you again. It's like kissing her to say I'm going to sacrifice. I had the dagger now.
Okay,
that's why I thought that was, and then he didn't do that.
When they looked at each other, let me break it down real quick for y'all. Uh-huh. When they looked at each other and gazed, and then they had the knives in opposite hands. I thought they were going to synchronize, cut their necks. Because it just seemed like that type of moment.
That literally never once crossed my mind that either one of them would kill themselves. We have seen Sansa in situations where you want to kill yourself.
Right.
And
for watching.
She didn't even give that level of despair at that point.
Right.
Ain't no fucking way in this moment she's killing herself.
Nah.
Not in front of her people. Not right there. No, not that never once crossed my mind.
She ain't built like
that.
And the same thing for Tyrion. Tyrion may be in his you know, weakest moment mentally right now. But even then, I'm not like, oh, this is the moment. Nah.
Well, I thought the crypts, the people crawling out of the crypts would be a lot more frightening and more daunting, but it wasn't.
It was too late in the game.
Yeah,
it was too late in the game. It didn't matter at that point. Yeah, it didn't matter at that point. Oh, okay, so there's more dead things coming at us? Neat.
Right.
Like, at that point, it was like, I literally said to Am, oh, great, so no head Ned's going to walk around now? Like, who cares at that point?
So,
why'd they even do it?
Okay, so that I'm 100% agree with you. I think the way they did it was the best way they could have done it. Because had they tried to make it anything bigger than that, and so, like, now we're supposed to recognize Kat because she has, like, a particular dress on. Like, if had they tried to make it anything more than just,
yeah,
it's just, it would have been stupid. It would have been Scooby-Doo.
But also
stupid.
The rules. What do we say, Mark? The rules. So now these whites can break through stone, you know, and dirt.
Right! But no problem.
But they can't do it all the time. Like we said, the rules change. So now they could bust through, but not, you know, like it just didn't work. But then they, but also they could run into the barricades with dragon glass and fall apart. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm with Am because I'm glad they did it to that minimal scale because I think making it bigger would have made it a second.
Oh, it
would
have been true.
I fully agree.
The way I envisioned it was more horror. The way Arya was running around, I would thought it would be more like that. They slowly are reaching to you and you recognize them, that type of shit. But they really didn't have that type of tapestry to play with. They didn't roll out that look at all. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad it just went away. Because that was like a big thing for me, but the fact that they didn't go full bore with it, I'm good.
So, Castro, that's my thing. Like, there was a lot of hype around the idea that the Crips people would come alive, right? And... Mm-hmm. I'm all here for the theories coming true, and I'm like that part was great, but it lost its level of significance when we've been watching 70 minutes of pouring skeletons all over this place.
Yeah.
Like now I don't care. I simply don't care.
Yeah,
it's just more dead things. It doesn't even matter that it could have been your long lost auntie. Like, none of it mattered anymore.
Yeah, you're right. Had it happened earlier in the episode, it'd have been better. Say again?
Is this battle rank lower to y'all than other battles because of the way it was executed? Like, when we list the battles, would this be like 3 or 4 for y'all? Like, not in the top, even with the length
and
the one shot in the middle?
It's still in the top two. It's still in the top two. I think people would give it a higher ranking because the Night King died, and for me, no.
Like, I feel like some people rank the battle at the wall low. Because of the resolution afterwards, but I think that's a high. To me, that's a high end battle.
I think Hardhome is the toughest for me. Hardhome and then Battle of the Bastards. Okay. Hardhome was just it was horrifying.
Yeah. Blackwater was a rough one for me too. But I'm just saying, like, because of the execution of this battle, I think in the list of battles it won't rank favorably, considering how they set it up with the 55-day night shoot. And the longest one in recorded film history. Mm-hmm. I can see where y'all point. I can see your points about it falling flat in terms of it's not even the best battle of the series.
No.
So I can give y'all that point. I'm still going to ride out Advocate to land. But I knew this call would be like this from our text chain. So I'm good with it. Anybody else have a hot pod around here?
Yeah.
Mine is still Danny.
And, okay.
There was some moments. So Danny fucks up the plan. We've gone over that in length. Mm-hmm. She does great things while in the air with the low visibility and the all of that. The smugness of her when she was like Dracarys and blew the fire for a full 45 seconds, and not only was the Night King completely fine and smiling at her, he almost showed teeth. His whole ice spear was at his feet was completely fucking fine. What?
What, the ice spear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ice spear was still intact.
Completely fine. He picked that shit up by his feet.
Magic.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, like, damn, like that was a mind blowing thing for me. Anyway, okay. This isn't Danny's fault, but the triumphant ass music that was playing when she abandoned the plan and just started firing just blowing fire everywhere, like that was a huge. I know it's on purpose, but that was just feeds into the fact that when given the opportunity to be arrogant, Danny is arrogant. Like you don't know what's going to happen here. You don't know that that's for sure going to kill him. Nobody knows that. The only thing we know, and it's a, we think we know, if you kill him, the rest of them go. Right. That's the only thing. We don't know how you have to kill him. And she certainly does. You know what I mean? So for the super smugness and arrogance of being like, gotcha, bitch, and then having no backup plan to that whatsoever, John's down there looking like a whole asshole now. Yeah, that was too much. And then she gets bucked off the Bronco and dropped into the middle of a fucking battle. Somehow, lucky enough to be next to Jorah.
Right.
I appreciate that she picked up a dragon blade and she was killing things too. I do see you, boo.
That was a little redemptive. That was redemptive for the episode.
It was redemptive. Yeah.
You're on the ground. Fine.
But I think that the funny thing to me was I've heard multiple people say, that's what you want a leader to do. And I'm like, yeah, but you also don't want your leader to abandon the plan, create some other shit that nobody else knows about. There's no way to communicate what the fuck is going on. Nobody that is following the plan has any fucking clue what's happening now. Like, there was a lot of leadership mishaps for that to be the one redemptive moment. That's not enough. Mm. So she's my hot pie.
Okay. My hot pie, and you guys are probably going to already know where I'm going.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Samwell Tarly.
Castro, hear me out. I have spent the last season joining you guys in celebrating what Sam has become.
Not really.
The only times I regressed is when we were doing the rewatch. And that was, you know, those old things are coming back. But I'm enjoying Sam's development. The last episode when he was at the top of the wall, the top of the bannerment with John and oh boy that he got killed this episode, Ed. Like he was making those points. And I was like, you know what? Hey, Sam's right, man. Sam's right. Sam got Ed killed. Sam went to the front. Let me finish. Sam went to the front line for what? A view? You can't even hold your family's fucking sword. Get your highly, highly intelligent, so important wealth of knowledge ass into the fucking crypts and out of the way. Please, sir. Please. Because had you been down in the crypts with the dragon daggers, you might have been of some use. Instead of being up there on the front lines, getting people killed and being in the fucking way. Yeah, Sam doing the absolute most this episode. Completely. He pissed me off to no end this episode. Useless.
He killed a lot of whites.
Did he? He laid on one and kept stabbing the ones that were laying. He was laying.
Yeah,
on.
So that pile underneath him, you gotta get
that was
that.
All
that's
him?
His pile.
No.
That's
no.
His pile.
Okay, no. Hold on. Let's just do remember that armor is very heavy. And Sam is not a flexible man, okay? Also, we discussed this. Mm-hmm. He may have a rotator cuff issue. And that's why he can't pick up that sword. We don't know what physical therapy could be happening.
I think and that's very positive. That's a great point, Mark.
You know?
Oh, my God.
You never know what's going on with someone else's body. And I don't think that we should in any way make him feel smaller for not being able to wield that sword.
Am I being an ableist? Is that what I'm doing?
What he did was one of the mightiest things you could do by giving that sword to another noble, honorable person who could, in fact, wield
don't you,
it.
Don't you yep, Castro. Don't you ad lib.
He died. Mm.
Yeah. Wielding that
Sam
sword.
Still alive.
And Sam's still alive.
Wait, when did Jorah drop the sword? Did he drop it at one point or he just clapped to his knees?
He collapsed. No, his knee.
He picked himself up. He picked himself up with it. And then he was stabbed directly in the back by something went straight through the armor.
He was wearing armor, but something stabbed him right through in the front.
So went right
through. Guys, do you remember when Ed saved Sam? And then a white stabbed him right in Sam's face. So much so that Ed's blood ended up on Sam's face. It was horrific. Yeah. Do you guys remember what Sam did?
Thing.
Do we, one second. Let's get to the end of the question. Do we remember what Sam did?
There's a question.
When he watched the friend that he was responsible for death happen in front of him, he turned and he fucking ran. Fuck Sam. Sam, God damn it, Sam, stay out of the fucking way.
Fucking
way.
I'm sorry. I gotta bring some reality back into this. We can take the rotator cuff off the table. But in a world where a one hand man who the other hand is gold, so it's heavy as shit, in a world where he's hacking away and making it out,
right?
It's not fair to think that a person who isn't that, who isn't, has never been a knight, is fucking scared.
No.
Weird that he's scared.
No. Wait. Let me answer that question, Castro. Him being scared is what he, par for the course. Sam scared. Take your scary ass off the block and go sit on your grandma's porch. Get off the corner, fam. You're scared. Fuck out of here.
And
what did he have? What happened?
He had to defend his son and his woman.
He should have been defending them. Sam didn't have any business on the front line. Sam didn't need to be out there. Sam proved his point last episode by running the stats and giving the receipts of what he's done. That was enough. He could have left it there. Someone needed to talk to him the way they talked to Tyrion and told him, "You're too fucking valuable. Get your ass down there."
Castro, one second. He is the only living valuable Meister alive. The rest of them are trash. He's the only one alive of any value. He need to be on the front line.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But I have a point, a counterpoint. We seem to accept the Hound's fear and paralyzation more than we accept Sam's. And we've watched the Hound do this on numerous occasions.
When you say we, I accept Sam's fear. Yeah. I accept the Hound's fear.
Yeah.
I wanted to hug Sandor so bad.
Yeah.
To get him out of that panic
you
attack.
Definitely did.
Like, I felt terrible for him.
Cashel, you should have heard her. She's like, "Oh my God." Oh, she was very concerned.
That was. I love the Hound.
Yeah.
I love him. Yeah. Sandor.
She's like, "Oh no, Sandor."
Yeah, but Pastor, your point is made though. There is a leniency with him, and I think that leniency happens because he is a fighter.
He's got the numbers. He puts numbers on the board.
He's scared. He puts numbers on the board.
Right.
That's a good one. He's not scared of that fight the way that Sam is scared of the fight. He's scared of fire. And in that moment was like, "Oh, this shit's insurmountable. Why are we even doing this?"
What did he call him? He called him a whore or something.
He's scared of fire, but he also doesn't like the losing battles. When they're getting massacred.
Right. I think this is why I relate and love him so much, because I'm literally the same. I'm like, okay, well, Castro, my notes, the wave of whites come, and I'm like, I'm out. This isn't.
This is pointless.
No, this is a not winnable battle, so I'm out. Like, I think that was my major problem, is that they kept giving us reasons why there was no way to win.
And then they'd win.
Then it's like my tension was broken. My shit was like, everybody dies. The only reason I didn't really think that is because it's the third episode. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that, no one should have made it out of that. No one.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay, we'll move forward. Oh, wait, did you give us your hot pie, Kasher?
Yeah. Mine was okay. Tyrion and Sansa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, right, right. My bad. Mm-hmm.
I think Aemon didn't give us his. Aemon, you gave us yours?
No, he did.
Sam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, Hagar slang editorial. Ambush, to the best of your memory, quote 2 to 3 of the best lines of this episode, in your opinion.
Wow. I don't really have any best lines.
Only got one line.
I'll go if you can't.
I was going to say, the only thing I have that, I mean, the guy didn't talk. It was just seeing him smile. Seeing him smile in defiance was like, oh, shit. oh, word. Yeah, that would be it for me, that expression.
Taking a dragon fire shotgun to the chest.
Right. Ooh. Ooh. All the pellets. Ooh.
Standing that's the
there.
Worst. When you take that shot and they look down and look back at you, that's where you're punching somebody in the work.
That's
it.
Damn,
like a gun. The gun ain't working? Oh, hell no.
Yeah. Yeah. Party done.
I have a couple.
All right, Mark.
Stick them with the pointy end, of course. Nice. Of course.
Good callback. Yeah.
When Sansa said to Tyrion, "You were the best of them all," which is the lowest bar ever, but it's so great.
I think I'm watching the episode again. She said that when they were in the crypt.
She hit him with the Drake.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. I didn't get that part.
That was super cute.
But she had some weird ones of, you know, her own.
Oh, no. Well, that's my whole point. Yeah, that bar was really low. I mean, it's she had the worst companions ever. Mm-hmm. But giving Tyrion that, because he was so worried that she thought he was this creepy raper old man, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And he always treated her the way that she should be treated, and respectfully, the way that, you know.
Very like, true.
And she was significantly younger with Tyrion than Ramsay, right?
Right.
Like, let's give some time in between. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Like, so there's that part of it too. And he never like breached. He never was weird with her. And
right.
For she needed that. She needed someone not to abuse her. I'm not saying that he gets rewarded for not abusing her.
Yeah.
But you know, going against.
But he
you
did
know,
protect her. Yeah, like he.
Yeah. Joffrey and all that shit. Yeah.
Exactly. He was the exact opposite of everyone that had already wronged her, mm-hmm. and it was good for him to for her to tell him that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and then my other one is, I had already kind of said it, when the Hound is like, we can't fucking win this battle anyway.
Yo, what did he call him? What did he call him? It was hilarious. It wasn't a cocksucker. He called him something.
Probably a stupid cunt or something.
Yeah, I was dying. I was like, okay, dude, we're all in the same mess right here. You don't have to name call. That was a bit much. Yo, I was dying. Oh, it's like, you fucking cunt. He called him something. It was like, whoa, bro.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but it definitely was like,
look, man, put him in a battle with 30 below. Put him in a battle on an island in the middle of the ocean. Just do not have any fire near my boy.
Right.
He can find it in that situation. But also, look at the situations. The fire will be like all around him. Like, I can't knock him. Like, that's your fear, to be on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
Every battle is fire everywhere. It's like, mm-hmm. Damn, you're not in.
Yeah.
I got one. When Melisandre inspires our great one, Arya, and says, what do we say to death? That was it. It was sort of a combo quote, because what Melisandre said first and what Arya said second, but
That was big.
A throwback to Cereal.
Yep.
The homie. All right. Castro, what would we not give to get our dire wolves back? Emotional high point, low point for you for this episode.
Low point was when Ed got killed saving Sam. So at this point in the series, we're so far along that I'm going to have like emotional moments with characters that were with us for the duration. So anybody, it could have been Roz if she lived to be this long. You know what I mean? But like, damn, Ed was with us from episode two. You know, at night, you know, he met up with John. He was John's friend for a long time, became Lord Commander. Proxy by being there. So just seeing him die, that's when the deaths start getting real, when you start seeing longtime characters die. Even if they're like B or C or tertiary characters, to see them go, it's like, oh, man, they really, you know, they're really going. It's so seriously wrapping up. So that was like my moment for episode.
Ambush?
Oh.
Little Bear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, wait. One, two, I have another one. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Casper.
No, it's cool. It's something I just actually thought about because I didn't mention it. When Melisandre lit up all the Arraks that Blade used by the Thraki.
Yeah.
And I was hyped. That was an impressive scene. The CGI was impressive. But then to see them run out there and to see them lights go out like birthday candles.
Woo!
And it only took seconds. They weren't out there.
Nope.
That was like seconds. I was like, okay.
Yeah. That was like bad. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1
Yeah, this is bad.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah. So emotional low for me was definitely Low Bear. I wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready for her to go. I really wasn't. She's not a major character, but she's a fan favorite, and I'm a fan. I'm a true fan of her. I think she went out like a G. But man, yeah, didn't really. I probably would have liked to have seen more of her fighting before she was taken out like that. Like, give me some more of that type of fight. Let me see her in action before she just gets walloped like that. Yeah, so that was it. That was my emotional low. Of course, emotional high would be Arya's killing stroke. Like, that was dope. We've seen her do that move before. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was amazing. That was amazing. I felt like she was going to be the one, and I've always felt like she's been the most skilled fighter at this point, you know, because she's so unpredictable, because people don't know what she's capable of pulling off, and she never really reveals it until she needs to. But yeah, that would be the emotional high lows for me.
Yeah, you guys named most of my things. My high point definitely was all Arya. So the fight where she gets to use the weapon that Gendry made her was a high point for me, because that shit was dope.
Yeah.
She took on a ton all by herself, and that particular weapon was just like, she's just unfuckwittable when she's in the mode, you know? Like, what are you guys going to do?
Right.
What is anyone going to do that doesn't have anything close to her training?
Right.
And then, of course, the end shot of her killing him was just perfect. Just perfect. Mm-hmm. I did care that Theon died. I cared more than...
another character. What crazy arc. What a crazy arc.
I cared more about Theon's death than anybody else's in this episode. I expected Theon to die. I expected Jorah to die. I expected Little Bear to die. Not in the way that Little Bear did die.
I didn't want that for her.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. But the way that I see her death is even bigger. Like, she took out one of the biggest forces of their army. So she died. They get the littlest person out of their army, and she gets the biggest. You know what I mean?
Was that giant recognizable? Anybody? Was that Homeboy?
No, they said it wasn't. They said it wasn't 1-1. They clarified that.
Oh, it wasn't 1-1. Yeah. But what
it
about?
It wasn't 1-1, oh, okay. But it was where 1-1 died.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Oh, it actually was.
And wow. He died with an arrow to the eye.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, but it wasn't him.
Okay. You really thought about what if they brought, you know, one. Well, they probably burned him. They know better.
They did burn him. Yeah. John burned him. So low emotional. The deaths I I wasn't really that affected. I think it's probably because I was just like, I had too many annoyances happening at that point for me to be like, oh no, Jorah. Jorah died the way that he wanted to. Yeah. That was the most honorable death he could ever have. And so I was fine with it. And I wasn't sad. Not even as Danny cried over him. Didn't matter to me. Yeah. It was cute that the dragon came to console them all. So that was cute. Mm-hmm. Theon, though, like, getting the "you're a good man" from Bran really made him okay. You know what I mean? Like, made his okay, all right, then I can die being a noble, honorable person. Like, and that was great. I didn't need the run into death, but that's fine. Whatever works. Yeah. I think that's it. That's enough. You guys said the rest of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jorah went out like a G. He went out like a capital G. Like, when I thought he was done and he stood himself back up to catch that last blow, I was like, where is he even getting the strength to do this? Like, is he with him and, you know what? Beric. Beric was a tough one, too. He made sacrifice after sacrifice for Arya in those hallways. He put his arms across the walkway to give them time to run while he was getting stabbed up. Like, dude was amazing. He also went out like a G. Yeah. Major props.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Y'all fools hear that, Raven? Castro, do you have any short-term predictions and theories on what's to come
in this episode? Time to get that bitch. Now it's time. All right. I'm very happy that we did this in the middle of the season so I can get my White Walker, Eternal Light, Dark Battle, and still get this Cersei thing. But the forces must be decimated. I need a head count. And also, my other prediction is I think one of three people will kill Cersei.
Which three?
It'll either be Tyrion, Jaime, or Arya.
Mm-hmm.
One of those three. Mm-hmm. Poetically, mm-hmm. I think it'll be more Jaime and Tyrion.
Mm-hmm.
And then remember, we have the wild card of Ghost doing it.
Right.
So, but somebody gotta like dramatic tones, organ notes, and she get her neck snapped or some shit. Or gutted, I don't care.
Wow, okay.
Or maybe they could trick the mountain into ripping her apart. Something like that.
Okay. Ambush?
I did for a while think that Arya was gonna take out Cersei, but I think it does serve the story better that it be either Jaime or Tyrion. I don't think that Jon will end up on the throne. I think he'll end up dying too. That's pretty much it.
You think Jon's gonna die?
Yeah, I think Jon's gonna die.
Doing what?
I think he's gonna die as a result of a bad decision, like Ned did. I think something's gonna happen at King's Landing. And he's gonna make a bad decision.
Well, when they gonna reveal that he's a closet tea?
I think we got to see how that discussion. It looks like from the next episode, like Danny is still wielding power, so I'm not sure how that's playing out. But there's no way that Sansa would have that knowledge and be cool following behind Danny. She's gonna ride for her brother. Like, hold up, slow up. let's pull us all back real quick. So I'm curious as to how they're gonna work that, because to me these are two conflicts, between John and Danny, and then between everyone and Cersei. So
right,
yeah. Because Danny's not letting shit go. She's not. She just isn't. She just doesn't. I don't see it. What you got, MJ?
I don't have anything.
No predictions?
No. I just want Cersei to die. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, we all do.
We all do.
We gotta get do we even care about Clegane Bowl?
I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're seeing Sandor not care about this and not have that hatred like he did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you think he might have a moment and step off? Like,
I just don't think he's even gonna. I think he's gonna be like this motherfucker.
Yeah,
go ahead somewhere.
Fuck it. Yeah.
I just don't think that he's harboring anything towards him anymore. Like,
he knows it's not even him.
I don't think it's gonna happen. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't think it's gonna happen. I'm not holding out hope for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know who's gonna kill Cersei. I do think it's one of the three people that you named.
Cool.
And for all different reasons, it'd be great if any one of them did it for me. I could see the repetitive nature. If Arya is the one who does it, then she's just the one who does everything great. You know, like, right. I could see that not be a great thing. So, and they've just given us so much setup for Tyrion or Jaime to be her demise. Mm-hmm. So. I don't really care who does it. I just want her dead. I think I'd be fine if it was just like Cersei's dead now. but I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't be okay with that, you know? That's all I got for now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Crasters
Airbnb. However you want it.
No, wait, wait, wait. Crasters Airbnb.
However you want it.
Yes.
That's kind of moot because we was all in one spot this episode. That's what I thought. I thought it was M/A because we were at Winterfell the whole time.
I was gonna say the library for me. That was my favorite scene and location.
Oh, okay, yeah. That was a great scene and location.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. I love that scene. I could watch that over and over.
But that was the only different location. Mm-hmm. Everything was either outside or inside. Mm-hmm. So that's why I didn't really. But yeah, I'll go with that. Mm-hmm. The library scene was really good. There's only three episodes left.
There it is.
There's literally only three. So.
Thanks for listening.
Whew. A podcast has no name, and soon we ain't gonna have no damn show.
Oh my God!
Not true, Casper. Look at all the other shows and movies we review,
and the prequels coming up in 2021.
Yeah, we'll be around.
Y'all. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
All right, get your Game of Thrones Oreos for the next episode. We'll holler.
Bye.
Peace.
Excellent. You're still here. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of A Podcast Has No Name. If this is your first time checking us out, please subscribe. We are available on Google Play, Apple Music, Spotify, and pretty much everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Podcast Has No Name. Deuces.
Subscribe, please. Click and comment.